You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. And then we actually in Vancouver here have a very pleasant morning outside. So,
yeah. Yeah, the fog's not too deep. We've been in fog for about 2-3 weeks now.
Oh, when it first came in, I thought, oh, this is interesting. And I'm, of course, I'm just about 1,000 feet away from the embankment that goes down to the ocean. And at first it was fun and romantic and all that stuff. But then after a while, who wanted it? I'm up on the 17th floor. So there were times when I was above the fog, which was fun. And then the times when I was in the fog, which was interesting. So there we are. And now fog is gone. And we got good weather for quite a number of days. So,
yes, and on the prairies, minus 50 Celsius predicted for some places in Alberta and Saskatchewan.
Ooh. Well, when I was, the company I was with, the financial company, moved me to Winnipeg years ago, and I actually saw, in my mind, of the report was 48 below Fahrenheit. And then later on, I checked the record in the file, and they had it in as 49 below Fahrenheit. And I wanted, but I only had about a 7 or 8 minute walk to work, and I would say that, and you're done up in, you know, office clothes and a top coat. I had a winter, a top coat from Toronto, which is not what you want.
No, it sure isn't.
40 below, so.
No, what my advice to, see, Army and Navy doesn't exist anymore, but anybody who came from back east, I would say you just go to Army and Navy and get the biggest, ugliest parka you can find.
Yeah, well, it was, as I said, I had less than a 10-minute walk, but man, it was cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, meanwhile... things in the market seems still pretty red hot, and
yep.
We have some questions about it. Our first set of questions come from Michael. Hi, Bob and Jim. According to financial pundits, there is a great rotation underway from blue chips and tech giants into U.S. small caps, emerging markets, and commodities. Apparently, these markets are catching up and will have more upside going forward than the major indices. Bob, I'm confused. Is this rotation actually a sign of a market top?
Yeah, you can consider that, but I just prefer it as a great financial bubble. And this one has been the everything bubble, gold stocks, industrials, high tech, the Magnificent Seven. And the dynamics are incredible, and you got sentiment that, and charts showing that the public is in. And I'm not, all I'm saying is the public gets in at major tops. They are not there at major bottoms. That is not the way it works. So when the retail trade comes in, you know you're getting near the top. So, and then the trick is when is the top? But you just have to let this run and see what the first major correction does, and then it's after that on a correction, a recovery, and does it go to new highs or does it just roll over? So, and that you can't tell ahead of time, but and thankfully, because of financial history, you do know that we are in a great financial bubble. The first one was the South Sea bubble in 1720, and they actually called it a bubble at the time. And the public came in, everybody went crazy, they did new issues like mad, and also high-tech stuff. Now, one of the hot new issues in 1720 was a new way to make sailcloth. I mean, you had to be there. So then Southsea Bubble, it's reached its best in June of 1720, dithered around during the summer, and then about the middle of September started the failure and the crash. So on that one, the public and the financial guys created a model. And the fascinating thing is that on subsequent great financial bubbles, 1772, 1825, 1873, 1929, and now, but all the previous ones, there's a common pattern there on each one. So you know that the real price of gold turns up after the bubble, and you have the real price of copper turns down, not yet, and then you have real long interest rates turning up. By real, we mean you take the coupon rate and adjust it for the rate of inflation, and then you're into it. So we have the signs of a blow-off, but not yet the interesting steps to determine whether it's failing or not. We're watching it very closely, but at least you have the pattern. Now, part of the pattern is that typically, once the great bubble was concluded, it was followed by a period where the business cycle maintained, you know, a 3 or 4 year one, but each of the recoveries was weak and the recessions were strong. So you ended up with a period of contraction. Well, they call them Great Depressions, and they last for about 20 years. So, and the 1873 bubble, and any of your historical books record that the Great Depression ended in 1895. And then you started the long economic expansion that then led to super inflation and financial assets that peaked in 29. So, yeah, I'm mentioning 29 because this is even a wilder bubble than in 1929. So,
Another question from Michael. Zero Hedge headline: Silver Museum emptied in massive heist. The Netherlands has been looted of its collection of silver objets d'art. Bob, is this brazen silver heist an example of extreme fear of missing out and a mark of a top for silver, which, by the way, has gone over $100 U.S. for the first time?
Yeah, no, that one is crazy. The guy's... I don't know how the hell you would fence it. I mean, sell the stuff, and it certainly wouldn't melt it down into silver bullion. So,
well, they sure
this
could.
Thing is just beyond explanation.
Well, obviously, that's the big fear when, you know, you take art made out of a precious substance like silver, that idiots will melt it down, even though, well, as a piece of art, it's worth much more than the metal price.
Yeah, speaking of idiots and metal prices, you've got headlines recently about guys stealing copper wire. I've had a couple of headlines recently on that, but from decades ago, at a particularly hot market for copper, a guy went out to steal, to cut the wire, and it was electrically charged, and he got fried. So would you call that just desserts?
Well, wasn't an electric chair that got him, but...
Yeah. No, it was obviously a tragedy, but so far I haven't seen a headline where the thief is getting fried on the electrical juice. So.
Well, maybe the Darwinians have been weeded out already.
Maybe.
Maybe. Now, we have another question from David, and that's connected to silver as well. Hey, Bob, silver has now gone exponential in its price move in a very short time. Usually, this is a bad sign for the continuation of a trend. Do you think silver's move indicates a final blow-off top leading to a correction, or is this rapid silver rise likely to hold long-term?
When you get a move like this in silver, it can always go a little longer and a little further than one can call. You've got the silver bugs out there who solely look at supply-demand figures, and they've got it figured. There's a big name in Toronto who's really good on supply-demand, and you cannot go from analyzing supply-demand, which is in ounces, to going to price per ounce. You just can't get there. There's no formula. And of course, with silver, every year there's a shortage. So for the silver bugs, every year silver's going to go up. But as we like to point out, there's a very important financial component in silver. And in this everything bubble, when silver breaks, it will be a sign that the bubble is completing and is over or whatever. So we watch it very closely, and particularly also the gold-silver-gold ratio is another way of looking at it. So in a boom, silver outperforms gold. In a bust, silver goes down relative to gold. So silver is a good friend. And Mr. Silver will soon be telling us a financial story, but when? Who knows? Yeah. Soon.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye. The first one from Zero Hedge. Mercedes relocates production to Hungary. 20,000 Germans set to lose their jobs.
Oh, yeah. All of the apparatus of too much government and too many unions and stuff like that is making it unproductive, and they have to go for improving productivity, and I guess they're finding a good place in Hungary to do that. So.
But also, if we take a look at the trends, somebody said they went to a city in China to see the assembly of some of their electric vehicles. Every piece of assembly is done by robot. The cars drive themselves out of the factory and onto the truck that takes them to the railway. And then the cars drive themselves off the railway cars and onto the ship that takes them off, and then they self-drive off. And where I live in New Westminster, I see people driving the cars off the ships that deliver the vehicles from Asia. So those jobs are going to be gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is what happens in a boom. Everybody is so active that they don't really look into costs. But then when you get into potentially a contraction, and one of the things, as I said, real rates go up, and that is a pain and cost if you have too much debt. So, people are going to be fully aware of the problems of too much debt. So.
Now, we have from Zero Hedge, natural gas prices jump 75% as extreme cold blizzard risks threaten Appalachian gas supply.
Yep. Sudden big demand, they got to go for it. And also, there will be an increase in usage as well. You know, people are going to dial up the thermostat. And heat loss from a house, and you just got to put more heat in from your furnace. So, yeah.
And as we discussed at the top of the show, they're expecting what they now call polar vortexes. They never had those terms when we were young. They always make it seem very extreme, but that's coming down, and it's going to hit Saskatchewan, Alberta, dip down into Texas. And
well, when the financial company I was with years ago had moved me to Winnipeg, so I remember one morning 48 below Fahrenheit, and then I checked later wondering, and yeah, the record at the airport said 49 below Fahrenheit, and it was less than a 10-minute walk to the office, but man, it was cold. So
you learn to walk backwards into the wind, and you pull your scarf and you park it down so you have one little crack for one eye.
Yeah,
and every once in a while you turn around to make sure you're not going to bump into something or walk into the street.
That was the other feature of Winnipeg, where the wind seemed to blow. So, but it was a friend of mine. We were with Whit Gundy, and we were, the fad drink then was the vodka gimlet.
Ooh.
And it had to be with Rose's Lime Cordial. So we had three bartenders. We got them all switched over to having the right Rose's Lime Cordial, and there we were. And it makes me think, I'm going to order up a bottle of Rose's Lime Cordial and have myself a gimlet and whenever I get it organized.
Another headline, the Magnificent Seven, heavy, tired, and still soggy.
Oh, yeah. The Mag 7 are the seven big high-tech hot stocks, and soggy. I like, and the guys crafted a good headline with that one, Jim. Yeah.
Well, this rush to AI, does it remind you of the dot-com bust back in 2000?
Dot-com bust in 2000 and 1929. It was Radio Corporation of America, RCA was, and not only they had radio into households, everything. It was incredible. And just off of memory here, I think RCA got up to $125. And then in September 1929, and then all the way down to maybe a dollar and a half. And the big high flyers. And then also in 1873, it was Western Union Telegraph. And that was the big high-tech darling. And I don't have a stock chart on that one, but somewhere I found that in maybe end of September and into October, it gave up 40% in a couple of weeks. You know, the big high-tech darling, 40% in a couple of weeks. I mean, that is a hit.
And from Zero Hedge, why a multi-year merger and acquisition overshoot is inevitable.
Yeah, merger, acquisition, overshoot. They're meaning that there's quite a lot of them going on here now. And that is also part of the final part of a great financial bubble, all the wonderful stories and things. So, yeah, good headline.
Now, Bob, we keep talking about everything's too hot, too high, and yet nobody seems concerned about it. They keep pouring money in.
No, it's amazing how it happens. It just is accepted as this is normal. And I got a wonderful quote by the economist John Kenneth Galbraith. I don't have it in front of me now, but I'll find it for our next show and we can review it, because it is a nice description of a crazy market. So, yeah.
And Bob, we always hear these reassurances from central banks and so on. This time it's different. This time we won't let you lose all your money in the stock market or in Bitcoin or in silver.
Oh, yeah, you've got the Federal Reserve is there to keep the good times going. Now, here is the deadly one, is that they're looking for, the Fed did do a cut, I think, but they will be talking about Fed cuts. as a reason for the boom to keep going. But this just shows incredible ignorance about financial history. And short-dated rates such as Treasury bills, and let's face it, the Fed follows the market for Treasury bills. It doesn't create the trend. Anyways, Treasury bill rates go up in the boom, and they go down in the bust. And they really go down, like in, you had the T-bill rate in June of 1929 at 5%. And then by 1932, at the worst of times, it was down to 0.08%, or effectively zero. So this is where interest rates are going to go down. For sure, but it's going to be a disaster. And this is what happens. Falling short rates indicates the party's over, and I'll use the term again. It is a disaster to have, as a sign, falling short rates is a sign of disaster. Let's put it that way, you know.
And of course, everybody wants to time the knife drop, I think. Let's ride this sucker for as high as we can, and then we'll know when to bail out just in time.
Yeah.
Do people know when to bail?
Something about trying to catch a falling knife by the handle.
Yeah,
I remember something about that.
Yeah. I used to be able to throw axes up into the air and catch them by the handle. And the secret is, if you don't think you're going to make the catch, just get the hell out of the way.
Yeah. Now, how big an axe? Was it a hatchet you were doing?
Yeah, a hatchet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Now, no, hey, was, out on the homestead, there's little else to amuse yourself, so let's go. Well, my friend used to do it, and I thought, what's the secret? And you just watch the handle, and if you think you can grab it, you grab it, and if you can't, get out of the way.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good one.
Would I try that nowadays at my age and reflexes? I'd go across the street and watch somebody do it, but I wouldn't be near it.
Yeah, my big hobbies were sports like mountain biking and skiing, and then I just got too old for it, so, yeah.
Yeah, the knees just let you down.
Well, with me, it was, well, I got to tell you the line about it. I've got the outer bone in my right hand was broken, the outer bone in my left hand broken. I got two fingers in my left hand that are sort of weird from dislocation. I got a problem in my shoulder, and but I state, Jim, that I was never actually injured while I was mountain biking or skiing. It occurred after I'd been sailing through the air for a little while and came down.
Bob, is there any such thing as a safe haven when you're sure that the stock markets and maybe silver and gold have topped out?
Well, it's a good question, Jim. If the T-bill rate's going down to zero, you don't want to be rolling over in short-term instruments, because every period it'll get a lower rate. So what we like is good grade corporates. You'll have an interest rate, and if you buy them 3 to 4 year maturity, in 3 to 4 years they're going to mature at par. So it's a good thing. And then for Canadians, you can, if you got you're dealing with a full service broker, you can get good grade corporates in the States, and then you'll get the benefit of U.S. dollar payments when the Canadian may be doubtful. So yeah. Now back when I started in the bond trading on the trading desk here in Vancouver, you'd get inquiry from the trust companies and on bonds, and one was a toupee. So I wrote it out as T-O-U-P-E-E, and then we telexed it, broke them all up, because toupee was T-W-O-pay, payable in either U.S. or Canadian funds, and that was a nice instrument to have. But as I said, if you are owning 3 to 4 year term good grade corporates in the States, you have the prospect of getting your interest rate payments in U.S. dollars.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at Howe Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.